The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
Let's start with John Halligan. We discussed this yesterday on the programme about his gaffe in relation to the questioning of a woman at a job interview. And it would seem, Daniel McConnell, political editor of the Irish Examiner, that this may be the most expensive series of questions John Halligan has ever asked.
Yeah, I mean, the cost of... You know, the cost of his gaffe, as you call it, you know, is costing the department as of now $7,500. There obviously have been calls for John Halligan himself to pick up the tab and reimburse his department. I don't see there's any great opposition to that, and I think it's likely that's pretty much going to happen.
In fact, at this stage, it's almost inevitable it'll have to happen if he's going to save his skin, isn't it?
Yeah, I know there have been calls for his resignation from various opposition TDs, but I don't get any sense from within government that his job is in jeopardy, notwithstanding his technical breach of the law.
Why, is that because they're afraid of pulling down the government over this?
No, I genuinely think that of all the people across the floor in Leinster House, there really isn't any greater champion of equality and women's rights in the Dáil than John Halligan. And I think that is recognised by many of his political opponents.
So why did he break the law by asking questions like that of a woman at a job interview?
The context that John Halligan gave was that he did it. He has a track record of being a family friendly employer, and many of his staff operate family friendly hours. He did it in his defence. He says to break the ice, and it was a stupid mistake, Matt. There's no defending it really in the context of an interview. Like, it's the sort of conversation you may have with a staff member post being hired, and maybe kind of down the line you might have that sort of chat and ask about your personal circumstance, but it wasn't appropriate in an interview. However, I think it genuinely was an innocent mistake, and it's certainly been viewed as that by the Taoiseach, who, speaking to us last night, has expressed his confidence in John Halligan. His Independence Alliance colleagues have certainly rallied around him, notwithstanding their difficulties and oppositions in, you know, kind of fighting around North Korea.
And I'll ask you about that in a little while.
But, you know, certainly on this issue, he has their full support. So as of now, I think he appears safe. I think he will pay back the money. But I think it is an episode that both John Halligan and the government would like to see the back of very quickly.
Indeed. Sean Sherlock of the Labour Party, you're one of those who's calling for John Halligan to resign his position. Would that not be a bit rough? Would that not be a bit extreme, given the offence involved?
The offence was one where, you know, quite blatantly there was a breaking of the law, there was a breach of the law, and there was a finding against John Halligan at the Workplace Relations Commission, and he's a minister who was in the department that is the umbrella organisation for that very same Workplace Relations Commission. The issue here is that he himself acknowledged in the interview that he knew he shouldn't be asking this, but he asked the questions, are you a married woman? Do you have children? How old are your children?
And when he received the answers, he said, you must be very busy.
You must be very busy. But then he didn't provide a context for that. So the subsequent explanation by John Halligan that it, you know, and this nonsense, if you ask me, about him being a family-friendly employer, he never explained that in the context of the interview. So the person in question, and let's speak for the person in question, felt that it immediately put her at a disadvantage. And it's worth reading the adjudicator's report on this, where she very clearly states that there was discrimination on the business of civil status, family and gender, and that was absolutely and utterly, you know, unacceptable. So for a minister to, you know, be expecting to uphold the law, there was clearly a breach of the law in this context. And I think the signal that it is sending out is that, do we now roll back decades of progress in relation to equality within the workplace, where one woman told me today, for instance, that she has on occasion considered taking off her wedding band and her engagement ring before she goes into interviews because she's fearful of this unconscious bias that exists against women. And this is a very reasonable person that said this to me, that this unconscious bias that exists against women who are going for jobs for fear that they may at some stage during their careers become unavailable for, you know, for work because of childcare issues and for other issues. So, like, I'm not I'm not having a go at John Halligan personally here, because we all agree across the House, across parties, that he's a decent person. But what kind, what standard do we apply in the current polity whereby members of the Independent Alliance, you know, seem to be held to a particular standard that seems to be less than the standard that the rest of us in this House seem to be held to?
Is that
to?
And true, Daniel McConnell? Do you think the Independent Alliance been held to a lesser standard?
No, I wouldn't think so. I would certainly think, you know, I think the question would be asked, you know, what would be gained in terms of women's rights and equality if John Halligan was either sacked or was forced out of his position. I think also as well, you know, the WRC has adjudicated, it has found he was in the wrong, but, you know, on a technical point, it's the department that has now essentially was found in breach, not John Halligan individually. And that's why it's the department, not John Halligan, who are being fined. Now, the question politically has raised whether or not he should now reimburse the department, and that's obviously likely to play out.
Yeah,
but I would also make the point, you know, the calls for his resignation, you know, have been pretty watery throughout the day, Matt. You know, I mean, and even I noted with interest that, you know, Sean's own party leader at Leaders' Questions stopped a long way short of backing up Sean's call for his resignation. He didn't go anywhere near it, despite raising the issue at Leaders' Questions. So that was significant in itself. I would certainly think, you know, this idea that, you know, I don't think anyone is disputing that it was an error of judgment. But ultimately, you know, the WRC has adjudicated and has awarded the lady in question a financial settlement. So that is her compensation.
Okay, let me go back to you, Sean, because this listener here says, Sean, the listener here says, to whom can you complain? I've been asked my marital status and I have children in my last two job interviews. I'm a 35-year-old man. Have I a case to be outraged?
Probably, but the
what's the legal position?
Well, my understanding is that if that person felt that they were discriminated against by virtue of their marital status, by virtue of the fact that they have children or somebody, you know, the law is very clear in relation to asking somebody that question in an interview context.
Do you know the legal position? Because you're a former junior minister, you're criticising John Halligan for not knowing the legal position. Yeah, are you sure of the legal position?
I would say that in this context, in the context of the person who made the complaint, the adjudicator of the WRC upheld her complaint.
We know that. I'm asking you about a 35-year-old man. If he's been asked that in two interviews...
That is arguably a discriminatory case, yes.
What's the legal position?
It is absolutely discriminatory. You're not allowed to ask somebody those types of questions at an interview. But can I just go back to the nub of this particular case? Like, the complainant described the questions as being inappropriate, and she said that she had been put on the back foot as a result of being asked the questions. So the question is, we acknowledge that John Halligan fundamentally is a decent person, but what is the threshold for a minister of state where a minister of state was found to have been in breach of the law? And you can call it a technical breach or otherwise, but it was still a breach of the law.
All right, I want to finish with you, Daniel McConnell, by asking you about the North Korean situation. Because this has caused outrage in some quarters, amusement in others, but apparently among those who are not amused are fellow members of the Independent Alliance. There are how many of them again?
There's five of them in total, Matt.
And three of them were due to travel to North Korea if they got permission. John Halligan,
Finian McGrath and Shane Ross.
And the other two?
So Sean Kenny and Boxer Moran, who have taken a different side on many issues from the others within the Independence Alliance.
Is this because they weren't asked to tag along?
No, I think it's because they tend to be more rural TDs and they tend to have different views and different outlooks in terms of the world. You know, and they repeatedly, Matt, I've written plenty of stories about the Independent Alliance rowing with each other, you know, over recent months, and they always come back at me saying, you're over-egging this, you're doing this, you know, we have different views, we're an Independent Alliance, we're not a political party, we have different views. And I think it's no more, I think it's very much the same in this. Now, I know Kevin Boxer-Moran was really annoyed about this particular North Korean thing because he just said it allowed the political opponents of the Independent Alliance
to mock them.
I think also as well, it's in the context that the numbers, their poll numbers have been on the slide. trade, and they are feeling a bit of the pinch.
But if they could solve the crisis between North Korea and the United States of America, surely their poll numbers would rocket.
Well, I would argue, Matt, I mean, we're often giving out about politicians who have a very narrow outlook, you know, beyond the parish pump. It's nice to see politicians with a global outlook and have a social conscious, you know, not just in Ireland, but across the world.
Thank you very much, Daniel McConnell, political editor of the Irish Examiner, and Sean Sherlock of the Labour Party. Here's a tweet, or actually, not a tweet, this is from WhatsApp to 0874100102. I was in an interview last year where a businessman interviewed me and asked me what age I was I married, do I have kids, and what age were they were. When I said 4, he asked me, will that be a problem? Meaning my son. I got the job, but I turned it down. Should have taken it further. It was awful.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.